But first, progress being made in Washington, D.C. to avoid the government shutdown deadline at the end of the month. That back and forth came down to the wire. Not done yet, but looking likely to see that move in the right direction, at least locking up the necessary funding to keep the government functioning through December 3rd. Also watching for any updates on what looks like plans to advance President Biden's infrastructure bill. Obviously, rather important when it comes to what growth lies ahead. And we're going to kick off news in this hour on that topic. I want to bring in Ed Mills, Raymond James Washington policy analyst here with us now. And Ed, I mean, when we look at it, obviously, this is something that we heard from Jerome Powell. We continue to hear from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen about how important it was to not have the government shut down, seeing as, you know, we could see default by October 18th. Seems like they're fudging the dates a little bit and days past that, but obviously you're playing with fire. Talk to me about how important it is to see a deal like this come together.
So I view today's deadline as a confidence building exercise that, you know, in some ways, the more important things absolutely continue to be the debt limit, as well as what type of fiscal policy Congress is going to decide on related to the bipartisan deal, as well as any reconciliation deal, because that's going to determine what type of money is going to be added to the economy over the next decade and what type of tax policy we are going to see. I still think that there is a lot of brinkmanship left between now and October 18th, which is the deadline that Treasury has set as the X date. And that uncertainty, I think, is going to get pretty uncomfortable before it gets solved. I do think it gets solved, but volatility ahead is an absolute certainty right now.
How do you think it gets solved? Is it about the Republicans eventually coming on board, or is it about changing up the structure of the way the funding's packaged right now?
Yeah, so I don't view Republicans likely to vote for this. I really think it is a question about what process do you take. The easiest process is to do budget reconciliation, have a new kind of process play out in the Senate. The problem with that is that that takes time. Democrats recognize that they are going to have to be the ones that vote for this by themselves. But I think that they are very annoyed at the fact that Republicans are continuing to say they're going to filibuster it. So is this really about the filibuster, or is it about the debt limit? Are we going to see a scenario where Democrats push past a time when a kind of normal reconciliation process could play out, trying to get Republicans to blink, or trying to get folks like Manchin and Sinema to change the structure of the filibuster? Default gets avoided, but it is a game of brinkmanship that is going to play out before we get that resolution. Several months from now, we probably won't be talking about this, but that's where I think it kind of gets much more uncomfortable before that release valve is struck.
Yeah, a lot of things getting conflated here when we're talking about the infrastructure bill, avoiding government shutdown, and then, you know, what the path is even going to look like when we're talking about how the sausage is going to get made. But when you kind of step back and look at it, I mean, the pathways forward and what it will do for the economy, I mean, when you put that into context, when we're talking about how much money is included in this deal, and you're looking at a range, you know, north of $2 trillion here, I mean, what do you kind of say when it comes to the scale of this spending package, given kind of the back and forth we just saw about how hard it was to even raise the debt ceiling?
Yeah, so ultimately, you know, I think that the focus of the market is going to be, you know, the size. There is a $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure package with about $500 billion of new spending. Senator Manchin is out there with a memo right now saying his high watermark is $1.5 trillion. Throughout this year, we've been in that $2 to $3 trillion camp. So we would be in that low range. Progressives are going to try to push that higher. Ultimately, the kind of tax changes would be less if we are in the low end of that range. So finding the sweet spot for the market is going to be something that continue some fiscal spending, especially as we are starting to see some of the COVID-related fiscal spending come off, and we're facing a fiscal cliff from that alone, and kind of what the tax changes are. And if the tax changes are less onerous than initially positioned, I think that increases some of the chance this gets passed, in that there is at least an off-ramp from what we've seen is $5 trillion plus of spending approved in D.C., which is just astronomical, things that we have not ever talked about in terms of spending in the past. But the market does want to see some sort of glide path downward in spending versus a cliff that could occur, especially with things like the child tax credit ending in December here.
Yeah, Ed, it feels like this process has really shown the limits to President Biden's call for bipartisanship. Obviously, he's injected himself in the deal making that hasn't necessarily led to progress within his own party. What do you think the White House would consider a successful outcome on this, if we're talking specifically about these two bills?
Yeah, so I think, Akiko, a successful outcome is getting a final vote on the bipartisan infrastructure deal. That might occur as early as this week. Right now, there's not the votes there for it. But the more, very high probability is that will get done by the end of this year. So that's a success. And I think that the next part of the success is getting as much as you can on the best part of the Build Back Better plan that they are pushing for. I think the bare minimum there is an extension of the child tax credit, some things related to housing, and some updates on healthcare. Other parts that are more aspirational, I think that they will use that as part of the strategy going into the midterm elections. I think Democrats will say, we got as much as we could, keep us in the majority, add one or two seats in the Senate, and we'll get the rest, trying to gin up the base. I think that's a tough kind of political road ahead for them. But sometimes getting a half a loaf or three quarters of a loaf politically ends up being the bigger success because of the ability to play this through the next election.
Yeah, and it's obviously been a tough road here. And it doesn't solve it potentially, or when we're seeing extending funding for December 3rd, doesn't necessarily solve it long term, but a lot better than some of the warnings that we've heard in this week's testimony. Ed Mills, so Raymond James, Washington policy analyst, breaking it all down for us there to kick us off. Appreciate